Matthew chapter 5, we'll be looking especially right now at verses 10 through 12. Yeah, verses 10 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed persecution. Oh, so very happy or blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all evil kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Father, we ask your blessing on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The most despised, persecuted, and hated of all people in the history of the world have been the children of God. Of all the atrocities of slavery in America, as terrible as it was, that was a paradise compared to what our early Christian forefathers and our Baptist forefathers or Christians like the Scottish Covenanters had to endure. In case you didn't know who the Scottish Covenanters were, they were treated worse than our slaves, for the slave ships that brought the slaves here, those slaves had to be cleaned. They had to, their feces, their urine and stuff had to be cleaned up. Their vomit had to be cleaned up. And it was the persecuted Scottish Covenanters who were not being paid, but were themselves slaves to the slaves who had to clean them up. And why were they so persecuted? Because they stood against the state church. They stood against the government church in Scotland. And a lot of times what would happen is when they would catch one of the men, they would take and rape his wife and murder his children in front of him. And then they would torturously kill him. And the ones that were kept alive were made slaves on the slave ship, to serve, to feed, to clean up the slaves. So these were people that were hunted down like rebels and like wicked people, but all they were Christians like you and me that held to the doctrines of grace, that believed that they weren't going to bow the knee to false religion no matter what cost they had to pay. And they paid a dear cost. We call what happened to over 6 million Jews under Hitler the Holocaust. It was so sad to see all these pictures and all these films of the Jews in the concentration camps, all the open graves with hundreds, sometimes thousands, of dead Jewish bodies in them. When I see it, I sometimes cry. But what do we call the 30 million Christians who were murdered under the communist, the socialist takeover of China, when Mao Zedong put them to death? What name do we give to the millions of Christians murdered and tortured in the Soviet Union? In the last 2,000 years, approximately 50 million Baptists, we're just talking about Baptists, in the last 2,000 years, approximately 50 million Baptists have been killed or tortured horribly. One of the old popes back in the 1700s wrote in his diary, "If we had not killed at least 30 million Baptists, they would have taken over the world by now." What name do we give them? All this, all these murders, all these tortures for just loving and following Jesus. You know, when you see in the old movies like The Three Musketeers or, Braveheart or other, these torture instruments, the Iron Maiden, the rack to stretch people out on, these burning, the ones that they would burn the sensitive parts of the body, those were not invented for the king's enemies or to bring out information from spies. Sometimes they were used for that, but those were invented by the Roman Catholic Church to persecute Christians, to get them to recant, to get them to turn away from their religion and become Catholics once again. If you doubt that, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Very sad. It'll make you cry. Story after story after story throughout history of those who are martyred. Well, I just have a few points here. When it comes to this blessed persecution, first of all, children of darkness hate the children of light. The children of darkness hate the children of light. It has always been so. The very first person ever murdered in the history of the world was a man named Abel. And he was murdered because his works were righteous and his brothers were evil. In other words, here was Cain representing works religion, offering the fruits of his own hands, the fruits of his own work. And here's Abel, who the Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Notice he came by faith, and the gift that he gave was a firstling of the flock, a male lamb, a male young lamb. And he took this lamb and he offered it as a picture of what Jesus would be for us when he would come to take away our sins. Cain made his offering about what he could do, what he could grow, his industry. And Abel said, no, I trust in the one who's coming to bleed and die as a perfect sacrifice for me. And for that, because Abel was born again, because through faith Abel pleased God, he was killed by another religionist, his own brother, who was a works religion, but was a child of darkness. For Isaac was persecuted by his brother Ishmael because he was a child of promise. Joseph was persecuted by his brothers because he had been shown favor by God and by his father. Israel in Egypt was persecuted because they had certain rituals and laws they were to go by, that set them apart, different, as a people chosen by God, children of Abraham. It has come through these claiming to be religious. Most of the persecution against Christians in the world, 99.9% of it has been by those who claim to be religious. Don't forget, in 1973, the Supreme Court declared humanism, one of its main tenets is evolution, to be a religion. It has always been this way, and it has come to us, come down to us through those claiming to be religious. The Jews persecuted the Old Testament prophets and persecuted and cried out for the death of Christ. They sought to kill Paul and silence the early church. The Jews in history have been some of the most vicious persecutors of the church. The pagans who worshiped their false gods like Diana of the Ephesians and Apollos and so on, the ones that worship false gods, the Babylonians, the Ninevites, the Roman emperors, the Muslims, they have been some of the worst persecutors of the church in history and still are. Evolutionists like the Nazis and the communists, Cuba and North Korea, Myanmar, Cuba. They hate the children of God. They hate the children of light. And so Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Again, the Bible says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if the world hates you, especially if they're hating you because you claim to be a follower of the Lamb, a devoted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Expect to be persecuted. Persecuting Christians shows the blindness, the wickedness, the literal insanity of sinners. It is being a persecutor of God's children is begging God to kill you. It is begging God to destroy you and throw you into the lake of fire forever and ever. It is literally aimed at Christ, not you, but mostly about the one you love. Now, children of darkness hate the children of light. Number two, the persecution, the specific kind of persecution that is blessed. You know, if you're punished for doing something wrong, that's not persecution. You're not a martyr if you did something wrong and now you end up being punished for it. the persecution that is blessed. Notice our passage does not say, blessed are they who are persecuted because they've done something wrong, or for being disagreeable, or being mean, or being a grouch, or being foolish, or being a thief. When Jacob was being persecuted by Esau after stealing the blessing, Jacob wasn't being persecuted for being good. He had been deceitful and deceptive and had worn a disguise. He was being persecuted and had to run away because he had done something wrong. Samson was not being persecuted for good things he had done. Samson was captured and his eyes pierced through with the iron pokers until he couldn't see anymore, which was God's judgment, because Samson was always looking on women, always looking on the wrong kind of women. No Israelites for him to marry. No, he wanted the women of the world, and he wanted a lot of them. And so Samson wasn't being punished because he was good. He wasn't being persecuted because he was preaching the Lord Jesus Christ or living for Christ. Our passage does not say, blessed are they who suffer or die for their own faction, their own sect, or their own fame, or their own religion. Joseph Smith died justly and should have been killed a long time ago. He was a very wicked and evil man. He lied about the golden tablets. He lied about the book of Abraham. He lied about knowing the Greek and the Hebrew. He lied about not sleeping with other men's wives. And he had 17 or 18 of his own. He lied backwards and forwards and started a false religion that is blasphemy. He started a false religion that said, no, Jesus was not born of a virgin. Jehovah God, who we may be like or even greater one day, if we're faithful Mormons, he came down and he physically slept with Mary. And they taught for many years until they were called out for their racism a couple decades ago. They taught the children, the dark people in this world are children of Satan, and the light-skinned people of this world are children of Jesus. Now, it wasn't too long ago till the Seventh-day Adventist Church got called out for Ellen G. White's teaching on amalgamation. That the dark-skinned people are dark-skinned because their parents had relations with animals. Like gorillas and monkeys and stuff like that. That was one of the teachings in the Seventh-day Adventist Church for years. Joseph Smith did not die a martyr. He died an enemy of Christ who started a false religion that's ruined many, many lives. Jim Jones, who started in San Francisco and then went to Guyana, is responsible for the death of about 900 people down there under his false religion. He used to pick up a Bible or bring in a Bible on Sunday to church and say, rubbish, trash, and throw it on the ground and stomp on it and make fun of the true and living God by calling him the sky God. He said, I'm your father. So they used to call him father. He took those poor, deluded, gullible souls down to Guyana and ended up killing them. But he didn't die as a martyr because he was a wicked, wicked man. Very vile. A socialist. David Koresh, who down in the Waco, Texas, and in his weird teachings on the book of Revelation, took the dispensational theology and took it to a new degree to where he placed himself and his commune in the book of Revelation. Now, there's a lot of ways the government handled that really bad and even broke the law, the Posse Comitatus law, to where you cannot use the American military to destroy, or military weapons, or military, to destroy your own people. They could have arrested him in town any numbers of times, but they chose to make a show out of it, and because of that, some FBI agents, ATF agents got hurt. But David Koresh did not die a martyr's death. He died the death of a false religionist, a false prophet, a false teacher. See, these were the devil's martyrs. Not Jesus' martyrs. The persecution that is blessed is when you are persecuted because you love Jesus, because you're following him. You won't go along with wicked ways and wills and laws of men. When they tell you, like they did in China, you have to have the government's permission to have a baby. You get one baby per family. And you're a Christian and God gives you another baby and God gives you another baby. Then you have to run. You got to hide. You've got to do as the Christians in China do. Go from village to village, depending on God. Boy, do they know how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And watch God work miracles. And know that God is real. The persecution that is blessed is when you're persecuted for loving and following Jesus, for being a witness of who he is and what he's done. There are different kinds of persecutions. There's a persecution of the heart. That is a hatred for God and for his people and for his book. It's not easily seen until someone else attacks first and then they join in. You thought maybe that was your friend, but now you're attacked by this one over here. And they get in line and they support the person who's slandering you, lying about you, persecuting you. We see this in the news media. Did you know that almost 90% of the news media in the newspapers and on the television news don't attend church of any kind? 80% of them are atheists. And we're going to expect them to tell the truth? The news media, the liberals, and the social progressives in our universities hate Christians. They despise Christians. If there's one person, any kind of person they attack more lately and persecute more, beat them up, literally hitting them in the face, stealing their hats, you name it. I've seen them, students, films on YouTube, literally running down a hallway and then being caught and beat up just because they wore a Trump hat. You know, it's vicious. But Christians have been treated far worse for far longer. There's a persecution of the tongue. There's slanders, lies, blasphemies, ridicule. I remember when Jesus first saved me, I was working at a textile mill. And I became one of the best workers they've ever had there. Not because of me, but because of Jesus working in me. And the Lord was so good and gave me so much strength and energy. And I became the most productive guy that supplied the textile mill lines where they would spin the yarn and for everything. And anyways, I remember shortly after Jesus saved me, they began calling me, "Hey, Jesus boy. Oh, there goes Jesus boy. How the hell are you?" You know, just to try to get to me. But you know what? I love that name, Jesus boy. I'm glad I'd be associated with Jesus. Call me Jesus boy all you want to. It makes me happy. Amen. But they'll do that. They'll ridicule you. They'll call you the mill missionary, or they'll call you, make up things like hallelujah. So many, you know, things like, just any way to get to you. So there's a persecution of the heart. There's a persecution of the tongue. And then there's persecution by actions. Sometimes it comes by government through fines, imprisonment, confiscation of property or possessions, beatings, tortures, rape, starvation, and murder for simply loving and following the Lord Jesus. And this is going on today, even as we speak in other countries. The Sudan has seen tens of thousands of Christians killed and burnt alive and tortured by Muslims. Indonesia, the persecution there is bad because you can't share the gospel with anyone. You can't leave a gospel tract in your own store. You can't talk to anyone about, oh, you're allowed to be a Christian. But once you share something about it, you can be in prison. Your property, your store, your business be confiscated by the government. Remember the first American missionary that went out, his name was Adoniram Judson. And he went out and went to Burma. No other missionary had been there before him, but he went to Burma. That's where we get our name, Burmese cats. It's now called the Republic of Myanmar. It's communist now. But Adoniram Judson was under persecution and so on so bad. They would literally keep his feet up in the stocks at night, and the mosquitoes in that jungle carrying malaria and scarlet fever, yellow fever, and so on, would bite him in the feet all night while his hands were tied. That was just one of the things. They kept a hungry lion in a cage by him that would constantly roar and try to scare him. They beat him several times. They treated him terribly. But after 7 years, he saw his first convert to Christ. And then thereafter, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens more. And the poor people there were not called Burmese. The poor people there were called the Karens. And they lived up in the mountains. And man, Christianity spread like wildfire among those poor mountain people. And now today, the Karens and the Burmese are still under severe persecution. We have a notice from the Voice of the Martyrs magazine on our bulletin board back there that talks about the intense persecution restarting in China again, burning churches. And there was another, one of the most prolific gospel-preaching Chinese churches was found and burned just a couple days ago or so. And they're suffering because they love Jesus, not because they're bad citizens, not because they don't work hard, they're the hardest workers in the world, but because they love Jesus. Why should we expect persecution? Why should we expect persecution? Because the wicked will always hate the Lord. Profane sinners like Ted Turner and Adam Schiff and Walter Cronkite, the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, she sat with ashes on her head the other day for Ash Wednesday, but I've never seen anybody hate Christians as viciously as some of these people like Nancy Pelosi and others that do everything they can to take away our freedom of speech, to say that abortion is evil and wrong, to say that homosexuality is demented and twisted. We're not telling, let's go kill homosexuals. No, we're just saying that that sin is of a twisted, selfish, ungodly, reprobate mind. And these people, instead of celebrating it, need to come and repent before Christ. They'll always hate God. If they support Planned Parenthood, they hate Jesus. They support the ACLU, they hate God. And reporters like Walter Cronkite and many others, we could go down the list. I told Philip, actually looked it up. Philip Fifkus actually looked up the place when I said on YouTube, there's a film of Walter Cronkite saying he wants to sit at Satan's right hand before a globalist international committee. Philip looked it up and he said, yeah, I had to look it up just to make sure. Man, you're right. You know who else was there? I said, yeah, Hillary Clinton was there. Yes, she was there. And it's very, very sad. These people will always hate the Lord. And because they hate the Lord, they'll hate you. So why should we expect it? They will always hate us because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Why should we expect persecution? Because Jesus said we should. He said it's going to come. He said if they have hated me, they will also hate you. If they reject me, they will also reject your word. Why should we expect persecution? Because Christians have suffered terribly for the past 2,000 years. Why would we expect any different? Many of our spiritual brothers and sisters, like we said, are suffering this very day, even right now, for Jesus' name's sake. Why should we expect persecution? Because we need it. We need persecution. Persecution separates the sheep from the goats. It separates the wheat from the tares. It separates false professors from real possessors. It makes us more forgiving and gracious and patient like Jesus. It purifies us and makes us take what we have more seriously, more devotedly, and more intensely. And so We need persecution. It makes us more like Jesus. The application quickly is this. When we are persecuted, it shows us that our faith is real and sincere. It shows that we are pleasing God and we have the devil's attention and he's put us in his sights. It means we're doing something for Jesus that the devil's very afraid of. There's a verse in Revelation where it says that the great red dragon, the old serpent, the devil, you know, he's a red dragon when he's persecuting. He's that old serpent when he's deceiving and tempting. So when he comes to us as the old serpent, he's trying to tempt us away, to lure us away, to deceive us away from staying strong in the faith. Getting us into some temptation, some besetting sin. He's the old serpent. But like in the same verse talking about him, it said that great dragon, that red dragon. What does that red mean? Blood. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And he comes, if he can't get us into temptation and sin, he'll try to shut us up by persecution and even death. But thank God, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Why do we need persecution? We are blessed in the enjoyment of those comforts that God gives in his word to those who are persecuted. Joy and peace. He said, blessed, rejoice and be exceeding glad. There is a happiness and a grace and a joy and an experience with God that comes only when we are persecuted because we love Jesus. The Baptist in China this day, they pray for us American Christians that we would come to know that the Lord Jesus gives to those who are persecuted for his name's sake. I mean, they actually experience that breath of heaven on their life. They actually, Jesus is so real to them because day by day he sustains them. Day by day he feeds them. Day by day he watches over them. And they are amazed at his closeness. Even when Paul and Silas, as we talked earlier, were in the stocks for preaching Christ, in prison for preaching Jesus, the wounds on their back were open so that they would be scarred the rest of their life. It says they began singing and praying and praising God. You know, there was a joy there. That in that persecution, with those wounds, in that prison, that come to no one who does not pay a price for being associated with Jesus. We are blessed to know what Jesus and his disciples went through. When we're persecuted, we can commiserate and know what the disciples must have felt, how Jesus must have felt. We know what they went through. And so the Bible opens up to us in a new and fresh way. All the Bible heroes were persecuted. So persecuted they, Jesus said, the prophets which were before you. We need persecution because in it God uses us in a special way. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And when we pay a price, it's like when William Tyndale was being burned at the stake for translating the Bible into English, the New Testament into English. And they caught him and killed him because he translated the New Testament into English. And he prayed while the fire was being lit, God, my Father, open the eyes of the King of England. And then the next king, his eyes were opened. And he saw the ugliness of a religion that wanted to keep people in blindness and darkness and lost in idolatry, Catholicism. That next king had the Bible printed. We call it, or the Bible translated, Old Testament, New Testament, we call him King James. He wasn't a very good man, but at least his eyes were open to the need of the people to have the Word of God. Another thing that Jesus promises here is great will be your reward in heaven. Blessed persecution. If we're persecuted for loving Jesus, if we're ridiculed, slandered, maligned. I know a couple of people who've lost their jobs over the years were members of our church that because they took a stand with Jesus and loved Jesus, they were fired from their job. You will have a great reward in heaven. In closing, we can be thankful that we are not persecuted as people in other countries are today. We're more in that heart area. We're more in that slander area. We're more in that hatred that wants to beat us, wants to burn us, wants to kill us, but doesn't do it just yet. Instead, they make fun of us and they ridicule our faith. Let us not go out of our way to provoke persecution. That's what Jesus meant in this sermon when he said, "Cast not your pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you and trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you, tear you up." So we don't need to cast our pearls before swine, but be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Let us pray for and support those who suffer persecution. I used to be a subscriber to Voice of the Martyrs. I'm not currently at this time, but I want to be. And so maybe when I get some tax money back from the government who overtaxed me in the first place, I can get subscribed to Voice of the Martyrs again, because they tell you in that monthly magazine where the persecution hotspots are. Not only do they tell you, but they share with you what you can do. And when when there's nothing else you can do, you can always pray. Remember people that love Jesus like you, that if they were here, they would be such a blessing to you. And they're suffering today because they love Jesus. They're separated from families. They're running and living while being hunted, like David in the wilderness when King Saul was after him. Like others during the hard times, like the Romans coming in and attacking Israel. They live like that from day to day, depending on the grace of God and the goodness of another Christian somewhere for a bowl of rice for that day. You can remember them in prayer. And then maybe even every once in a while, give something to support some of these folks that we're able to help financially if there's a way to do it. Father, we pray that you bless us now. Bless folks like the Voice of the Martyrs, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son with Heavenly Father, what is it, the Samaritan's Purse, trying to help and reach out and doing a wonderful, wonderful job of helping the persecuted and other believers around the world. We pray that you will bless this lesson to our hearts. And Lord, we thank you that even when we're being slandered and ridiculed and people are shunning us and laughing at us and wanting to kill us, we thank you that you're nothing but faithful and true and loving. You're our best friend, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You're not only that, you're our husband and we're your bride. Not only that, you're the head and we are members of your body. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. We pray you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.